हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 11. Avihotra to Maharaj Nimi, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.347. One who is desirous of very quickly cutting the knot of false ego that binds the spirit soul should worship the Supreme Lord, Keshava, by the regulations found in Vedic literatures, such as the Tantras. Right, so they're establishing how devotional service functions. Right? So then they're giving the authority that Krishna before mentioned is that it, coming from the, you know, means from the Shruti, from the Smriti, or from that combination. Right? Prahlad Maharaj to Hiranyakashipu, 7.5.23.24. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming a servant, considering the Lord one's best friend and surrendering everything unto him. In other words, serving him with the body, mind, and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. So this is a very important aspect, is that one who's taken up devotional service, they actually have knowledge. Right? What nowadays touted as important knowledge is only knowledge that supposedly is going to get you a job. It's going to maintain you. That's all. But now you're maintaining what? You're supposed to be maintaining your life. So your life means then that should be about knowledge about Krishna. That's the real point. Right? And if we see is that if the secondary is not as so important as the primary, so getting the money is less important than maintaining yourself. Right? So that means if so much knowledge and everything is there for the one, why wouldn't there be more of that for your actual person? Right? So the point being is that knowledge in which you're maintaining yourself in Krishna consciousness, that's actually the ultimate knowledge. The other one is useful for maintenance. Does that make sense? But other people, so many people are maintaining themselves without that knowledge. Does that make sense? There's billionaires around the world that amazingly didn't go to IIT. Right? And they're maintaining themselves. It's amazing. They're breathing, they're eating. You know, life goes on. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the point is that it has to be understood that this is a learned person. Someone who knows Krishna, that's learned. The other is they have good knowledge and skills for their area of occupation. They do a good job in that area. That's nice. But it has to be that because you are committed to Krishna, that focus on the external things is an easy thing. Not that because you have an expertise in the material things, that's why you're a great devotee. Right? That's the mode of ignorance. So you have to be very, very careful about that. So devotional service in practice, that's the real point. Sri Krishna Uddhava, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.20.17. The human body, which can award all benefit in life, is automatically obtained by the laws of nature, although it is a very rare achievement. It automatically means you'll go through the cycle of samsara. At some point, you end up as a human. Like that. If that makes sense, you know, somewhere between armadillo and aardvark, you end up as a human. You know, there's someplace there. This human body can be compared to a perfectly constructed boat, having the spiritual master as the captain, and the instructions of the personality of Godhead as favorable winds impelling it on its course. Considering all these advantages, a human being who does not utilize his human life to cross the ocean of material existence should be considered the killer of his own soul. Because you have something that could be used for that, but you don't use it for that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Misusing.
Yeah, misusing. Just not taking advantage. Prabuddha to Maharaj Nimi, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:321-22. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation, right? Because that's the first principle in the 64, right? The qualification of the bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation, right? So that means manana is there, right? Yeah. And is able to convince others of these conclusions. So that means there's some practice, some realization, right? So fortunately for us, then those conclusions are given to us by the acharya. So Srila Prabhupada has given those in his books. So by following the instructions Srila Prabhupada gives, we simply have to convince others of those instructions, right? So we don't have to have separate ones.
Usually, we are able to convince others only if we are convinced of
it. Yes. Yeah, but when we're convinced that what Prabhupada says, that's the real deal, then we can convince others. And if we think, well, that's there and other things, then we won't. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. Accepting the bona fide spiritual master as one's life and soul and worshipable deity, the disciple should learn from him the process of pure devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, the soul of all souls, is inclined to give himself to his pure devotees. Therefore, the disciple should learn from the spiritual master to serve the Lord without duplicity and in such a faithful and favorable way that the Supreme Lord, being satisfied, will offer himself to the faithful disciple. Right? So, because if one is surrendered to Krishna, and one can then teaches others how to surrender to Krishna, then everybody has that interaction, that relationship with Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So this is where the process begins. So we see is that this is very special. Of all the living entities in the universe, very few are human. Right? So that's a very rare birth already. Then of those who are interested in Krishna consciousness, that's even, you know, a very small amount. Then of those who can help convince others of Krishna consciousness, that's less again. You understand? So it's not that the spiritual master, what is it? Such great personalities, they're great and everybody else is not. No. Humans a special position. And then within that, Vaishnavas, that's very special. Does that make sense? So we have to understand the context. Pravadhuta Brahmana Tumaraj Yadu, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:7, 32-35. The Brahmana said, "My dear king, with my intelligence, I have taken shelter of many spiritual masters. Having gained transcendental understanding from them, I now wander about the earth in a liberated condition. Please listen as I describe them to you. O king, I have taken shelter of 24 gurus, who are the following: the earth, air, sky, water, fire, moon, sun, pigeon, and python. The sea, moth, honeybee, eggplant. Taking shelter of the eggplant. So in other words, when he says that, you know he's a Bengali. Right? We know where he's from. Okay? And honey thief. The deer, the fish, the prostitute pingala, the karari bird, and the child. And the young girl, arrow maker, serpent, spider, and wasp. My dear king, by studying their activities, I have learned the science of the self." Uddhava to Sri Krishna, 11:29-6. "O my lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they were endowed with a prolonged lifetime of Brahma. for you appear in two features, externally as the Acharya and internally as the Supersoul, to deliver the embodied being by directing him how to come to you. Right, so with the instruction of the spiritual master, then you can actually see things as they are. So then you can see, you know, in how Krishna is functioning in everything. And from that you can gain. So that's how he has 24 gurus. And Krishna points out you can learn from anywhere. Right? Like that. But it's a matter of it being based on the scripture. Not like the modern kind of thing where they just, come up with all these far out things. Yes. Sukadev Goswami Tamaras Purikit, Srimad Bhagavatam 12.4.40. For a person who is suffering in the fire of countless miseries and who desires to cross the insurmountable ocean of material existence, there is no suitable boat except that of cultivating devotion to the transcendental taste for the narrations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's pastimes. Right? So you're hearing, but cultivating that taste. It has to be appreciated. Sadhana bhakti, it should culminate in bhava. Right? So we understand that bhava is extending down all the way to shraddha, but it takes on its natural form, but in a small way, from ruchi. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It means it's there. That's what makes shraddha, sadhu, sangha, bhajana, kriya, nartha, nivriti, and nishta work, is because it's an extension of bhava. But it doesn't take on so much those qualities. It has them there inherently. That's why one's attracted and inspired in Krishna consciousness. Right? Because compared to the material world, has nothing going for it. Even a small amount of something real will be attractive. But when one gets to taste, then it gets very quick. Becomes very quick. Right? Because once one has that taste, that absorption in that that's the focus, then it naturally turns into attachment, then it will turn into bhava. Does that make sense? So we have to understand that. And the reason we get to bhava is then one can then develop that focus, exclusive focus, to get to prema. Yeah? So the whole process is about hearing and chanting. Buddha to Krishna, 11:6-48. Naked sages who seriously endeavor in spiritual practice, who have raised their semen upward, who are peaceful and sinless members of the renounced order, attain the spiritual abode called Brahman. O greatest of mystics, although we are considered conditioned souls wandering on the path of fruit of work, we will certainly cross beyond the darkness of this material world simply by hearing about your lordship in the association of your devotees. Right, so they're going to great trouble in the renounced order to elevate themselves to Brahman. But just by hearing and chanting about the Lord and the association of devotees, you go beyond Brahman to the Lord's lotus feet. So it's a much easier. You already get what's there in the other things. Does that make sense? Yes. Nabi's priests pray to Sri Vishnu. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.3.12. Dear Lord, we may not be able to remember your name, form, and qualities due to stumbling, hunger, falling down, yawning, or being in a miserable, diseased condition at the time of death, when there is a high fever. We therefore pray unto you, O Lord, for you are very affectionate to your devotees. Please help us remember you and utter your holy names, attributes, and activities, which can dispel all the reactions of our sinful lives. Right? So that prayer to the Lord, that surrender to the Lord. Right? So they're giving different aspects. So sadhana is based on developing these. Right? It means the 64 items, then the 9 items of devotional service are the prominent. Right? Everything else is simply details of that. Right? The first 10, they're giving you what things, you know, what just starts you on the process. And then the second 10 show what things should be done and what not be done. Right? And the last 44 are extensions of these 9. Does that make sense? And as one gets more advanced, where one's more situated and all that, then one focuses just on the 5. So it's just all about hearing and chanting, you know, the name, the Bhagavatam, the association of devotees, the Dham, worshipping the deity. That's where the main focus is. Does that make sense? So, but you see, and they're part of these 9. So it's just natural, and that means when you're dealing with those 5, you'll be doing the other activities. Doing the 9, you're doing all the 64. So it's just it should be understood that of these, then it's following the process of devotional service. And in that we see that that's because you've approached the bona fide spiritual master. Okay? So when we center whatever we're doing around the instructions of the spiritual master, then that means all the other aspects will work. Because that's the first item. Like we see that's what's being explained first. Does that make sense? Gajendra to Sri Vishnu. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.3.20. Unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord worship Him in full surrender and always hear and chant about His activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. Thus they merge always in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. Right? Because there's, what more is there than that? If you're merged in the ocean of transcendental bliss, what else do you need? Right? You don't, that means literally, you don't need a Snickers. You're good. Right? Huh? Yeah. Right? Yamaraj to the Yamadutas. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3, 32, 30, and 24. One who constantly hears and chants the holy name of the Lord and hears and chants about His activities can very easily attain the platform of pure devotional service, which can cleanse the dirt from one's heart. One cannot achieve such purification merely by observing vows and performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, it should be understood that one is easily relieved from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of the Lord and chanting of His qualities and activities. This is the only process recommended for relief from all sinful reactions. Even if one chants the holy name of the Lord without proper pronunciation, he will achieve relief from material bondage if he chants without offenses. Ajamil, for example, was extremely sinful, but while dying, he merely chanted the holy name, and although calling his son, he achieved complete liberation because he remembered the name of Narayana. But he remembered the name of Narayana. He's not even mentioning here that he remembered Narayan. He just remembered the name of Narayan. So this is the process. There isn't other processes. That there must be this faith. Right? If that faith is there, one will progress. Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Prickett, Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3, 51, 52. My dear King, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, right, so we're merged in another ocean. Right? It means we're being offered to be merged in it. They merge always, not sometimes, in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Right? So
this is about Nirvana.
Yeah, so then we're in the ocean of faults here. Yeah. There is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. So that's the specialness. Right, so it's chanting and getting others to chant. That's the main thing, right? We're not trying to get them up to goodness and this and that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Just like, how do you say? I think it's Chanakya mentions. You also have it in the Western thing. You can't purify your hands of blood with blood. Right? Whatever result was obtained in Satyayuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta-yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dwapara-yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be obtained in Kali-yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So all the other benefits of all the other religious processes are obtained by chanting. There doesn't need to be a separate endeavor. It's naturally in the chanting, you will have to perform other activities. There'll be times when you have to be humble, you have to be tolerant, you know, you have to be kind. They'll come up anyway. You don't have to separately endeavor for them. Right? Does that make sense? So you don't need a self-help book to figure that out. Right? The devotional process gives that. It's already there.
Maharaj, you've mentioned something about Satyuga meditation, Trita, sacrifices. But chanting was also there in those yugas also, right? is it?
That is chanting there on the other yugas. Yes.
Veda sacrifices prominently. That is what is the process.
Yes.
But they were chanting also at the same time.
Yes. So that's why it works. In other words, the meditation works because you're chanting. The yajnas work because you're chanting. The deity worship works because you're chanting. So in this age, you just chant. Because you don't have the qualifications for the other thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why it's the main thing. Because even this point of mode of goodness is not going to be so prominent. Because the difficulty is, the definition of mode of goodness is you're performing your duties because you're supposed to. Right? The mode of passion is you're performing your duties because you want the results. So to say that, well, no, we'll preach to them and elevate them to goodness, how are you going to do that? Unless you're preaching about performance of duties without attachment. Is that being preached? No. So therefore, there's no question of goodness. Right? We call it, oh, if you're out in the field, that's the mode of goodness. Yes, the human being be there is maybe in the mode of goodness if he's taking advantage. But all the trees and animals that are there are in the mode of ignorance. Does that make sense? So, if an actual yogi is in a yoga studio, then he may be in the mode of goodness. But everybody else is there for health or sex or, you know, good looks or something. Social prestige. So, where's the goodness? Does that make sense? So, it's not a reality. Because if you say, oh, we're cultivating goodness, it sounds good. But in actuality, how are you cultivating goodness? You don't even know what it is. And you're thinking that this kind of knowledge or prestige or position or degrees makes you in a more elevated position. By Kapila Muni's definition, that places you in the mode of ignorance. Because you're taking an upadhi on the body to be the nature of the soul. Does that make sense? So we have to be very careful. Krishna to Uddhava, Srimad Bhagavatam 11, chapter 14. Therefore, one should reject all material processes of elevation, which are like the mental creations of a dream, and should completely absorb one's mind in me. By constantly thinking of me, one becomes purified. Just as gold, when smelted in fire, gives up its impurities and returns to its pure, brilliant state, similarly, the spirit soul, absorbed in the fire of bhakti yoga, is purified of all contamination caused by previous fruit of activities and returns to its original position of serving me in the spiritual world. When a diseased eye is treated with medical ointment, it gradually recovers its power to see. Similarly, as a conscious living entity cleanses himself of material contamination by hearing and chanting the pious narrations of my glories, he regains his ability to see me, the absolute truth, in my subtle spiritual form. Right? So, I mean, he regains his ability. So he doesn't say he gained, he regains. That means one can see, but one's not interested. Right? Does that make sense? The mind of one meditating upon the objects of sense gratification is certainly entangled in such objects. But if one constantly remembers me, then the mind is absorbed in me. So that's why the sages see everything connected with the Lord. Like Prabhupada was mentioning, I can't remember, it was 9th or 10th canto. He was saying about that the pure devotees, they don't actually see how we see. When they look at the world, they may see the same objects, but they're not seeing it in the context we're seeing it. They're seeing in the context of his connection to the Lord. Right? So, being conscious of the eternal self, one should give up association with women and those associated with women. Sitting fearlessly in a solitary place, one should concentrate the mind on me with great attention. Right? So here, when we say give up the association of women and those associated with women, right? So what's the position we're talking about here? Right? Now, if we're dealing with devotees, then that's the condition. So husband and wife are devotees. Right? And so that association goes on as devotees. Right? There's duties there of husband and wife. But it's still like that. But if we're identifying it as men and women, because men have it one position, women another, and therefore it avails itself to sense gratification. That is then what's talking about, that's what's given up. Right? So if one's associated with women because they're women, that has to be given up. And if you're associating with people who associate with women because they're women, that has to be given up. That make sense? Yeah. So that's the then sitting in a solitary place means that you're alone without material desires. Right? Because it's considered like 26th Second Avenue is a solitary place. Because it's just about Krishna. It's not in the material world. Right? Walk out the front door, Hari Bal, you're in the material world. Right? But that's the point, is that so. And sitting fearlessly means that you can only be fearless if there's no material desire. Because if there's material desire, there's always the chance of losing it. So you're fearful. So fearless means you give up material desire. So that's, then they say, one should concentrate the mind on me with great attention. So being focused on Krishna, then that's how all benefit is there. Right? So we've seen is that so many ways that you can approach Krishna, right? You have nine main angas of bhakti, right? And then within all those, they have so many aspects. So the whole idea is that 24 hours a day, you can absorb yourself in the Lord. So, yeah. Yayati to his wife Devayani, Srimad Bhagavatam 9:19. So this means then the principle is when we see that I am the controller and enjoyer, and whatever's around me is for my enjoyment, that has to be given up. Right? And anybody who has that mentality. Right? Means if one's trying for Krishna consciousness, then that's, we're not talking about that. We're talking one who's committed to that mentality. That has to be given up. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yayati to his wife Devayani, Srimad Bhagavatam 9:19, 17:14. One should not allow oneself to sit on the same seat even when with one's own mother, sister, or daughter. For the senses are so strong that even though one is very advanced in knowledge, he may be attracted by sex. As applying butter to a fire does not diminish the fire, but instead increases it more and more. The endeavor to stop lusty desires by continual enjoyment can never be successful. In fact, one must be voluntarily ceased from material desires, right? So, we see that Yayati, then in his practice, he's understanding this. So he's saying this to his wife. And then we see that he gets the youth from his son so that he can deal with these desires, so he can understand this point, that it just doesn't do anything. So it said at the end, when he gave the youth back to his son, his realization was that you cannot be satisfied materially by material desires. Right? You just cannot satisfy desires. That's all. Like a fire. How much wood can you put in the fire? Right? Right? They burn whole forests. Right? They have no problem. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the point, is that it's not going to happen by that process. That's why then we saw previously, you have to give up that idea of trying to enjoy the material nature. Somebody says, that's the idea.
The argument is given here, in this particular example, is that he went through the whole process, and it was his own experience. He really wanted it. He went through it, and then now he's realized.
Yes, yes.
So, but then we offer to the devotees is that based on somebody else's experience, we should come to the same conclusion, and oftentimes it's not happening.
But, yeah, that's intelligent. But otherwise, they go through. That's why the Varnashram system is there. You want to go. You want to learn directly yourself. That's what Varnashram is for.
So it is a bona fide method.
It is. But it's called third-class intelligence.
Right.
Second class is you heard about it, didn't learn, but when you see it happening with others, then you catch it.
Yeah.
First class means you hear it, then you understand it.
Right.
But the point is we're not worried if it's first, second, or third, as long as you learned. So what we're avoiding is fourth, where even you've experienced it and you still don't learn.
Right.
You know? So that's why it's there. That's why the acharyas, why Krishna and the acharyas give us the varnashram system. That's for engaging material desires in a regulated way so that you give up the attachment. That's the whole purpose of the Vedic culture. So if you're just going to engage and remain attached, why do you need to be a human? You know, the animal is engaging their senses and are attached. So if that's all one's going to do, the human life is, why have that? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole point. Why do that? So then, the idea is that's why it's being given. But the point is what don't we like about the Varnashram system? Right? The regulation. Because it's through regulation that you actually understand. Because it mentions it twice. When it talks about Yayati, when he takes the youth of his son, and then he enjoyed his senses to the maximum he could. But it says according to religious principles. He never broke any religious principles. Exactly what the Shastra says, that's what he was doing. Right? You also have to remember, in these ages, they live for a bit more time. Right, so if this is Treta Yuga, they live for 10,000 years. Right, so in this time, it's like taking your son's youth for 10 years. Yeah. So they say, "Oh, but he had this and that," but they live for that long. So now it's 10 years. So yeah, take 10 years, go for it. You know, we don't mind. You know what I'm saying? So that's the aspect is that because it regulates the senses that you have to be in the mode of goodness. You know, and then it works so nicely. But that's only going to happen because we connect it with devotional service. Right? So because of devotional service, and we see that there's material desire, we engage it through the Varnashram system. Right? Does that make sense? That's why it's recommended. The difficulty comes up is we don't like the regulation that Varnashram expects. So we want it to be, I can do whatever I want. Is it? Can't remember who it was. It was a song, like in the 60s or something. Go where you want to go, do what you want to do.
Yeah.
So it's just, that's the theme song.
Be what you want to be.
Be what you want to be. Yeah. So that's the problem. And because of that, they don't want to accept something that regulates their life. And then the excuse is, we're not the body. That's like so contradictory. Because the point is, we're the spirit soul, so what does it matter what the body is? That's what you have. You know what I'm saying? So this whole thing is all about the body, and then this body has to do with that body, and this, and that's why Krishna says, do your duty. Because he made the Varnashram. He is the Varnashram system. He is Dharma. So he is the Varnashram system. So if you're in one position and want to do something else, Krishna doesn't like it. You're in your position, you do your thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. So, yeah.
Kumar, if one follows the unrestricted process of
the unrestricted process, yes.
Of sense enjoyment, is it, because it's not in the mode of goodness, very unlikely to lead to the same sort of determination?
It won't lead to the same sort of determination. But you'll have a window. Narad Muni mentions this process being used by those outside the Vedic culture, or even within who just really go for it, that on this principle of that, is that you put so much ghee, the fire goes out. But if you're using that process, it's just a little window. Because at that time, if they come in contact with Krishna consciousness and take it up, then they'll advance nicely. But the problem is now within it, you see then it's being described about these things that control that regulation. That's part of the sadhana process. You'll have no background to do that. So then, will accept the philosophy of Krishna consciousness but not the religion. Mm-hmm. And try to make up our own religion. Because we don't have any experience of control. So that was where the weakness is. You know what I'm saying? Because they find within, what do you call it? Within those who are coming from backgrounds where they do have a structure and community and family values and authority and that, they don't have any problem with the Varnashram stuff. Those who have a background where they have no experience of that, they're the ones that have the difficulty. So that's why it's not recommended. It may be a reality. But the point is how long is the kid going to go on complaining about the medicine's bitter and not nice and I'm okay and this and that and why you make me take this and you don't like me and you like that, on and on and on. And just take the medicine. You know? So that's the whole thing, is we have it, but we just do it. Then it works nice.
Maybe because the intelligence is always bewildered and the mind is restless when we are in this lower mode.
Yes, because the mind can only be settled in goodness. Actually only in pure goodness. But in goodness, at least it's settled enough to be workable. But in passionate ignorance, it's not its natural position because it's born from goodness. So in passionate ignorance, it's, like you said, unsettled. It won't look nice.
And also in the analogy, we see like even we put like wood in fire. If you put more wood, it seems that the fire is gone. But only if just by the airflow again it catches.
Yeah, and then it comes up, and then it's more. So then that's why it's not a recommend. It can be. It does work. It's not that we would have it. I'm going to use this as the process. It's a matter of those who are in that situation. They do have a window of opportunity, right? For those who follow the Vedic system, basically the whole life is an opportunity. But for the others, it's only at these points when they lose that faith. Right, the fire goes out, they tried so hard it didn't work. You know, a relationship breaks or they lose their job or something like that, so they're completely miserable. That's the moment they might be interested in Krishna consciousness. But when things are going great, you can't interest them. Well, those who follow the Vedic system, they're pious in that, and you show them higher piety, they take it. And it's like the life members in India that were made back in the 70s, that all of them were, you know, millionaire, billionaire guys. They were the biggest guys. We started from the biggest and went down.
Even today, if you go to Calcutta, all the big buildings, by mistake, even if you approach them, they say you were like them.
Yes.
Like they have the biggest, people.
Yeah, so that's the whole point. And so they were inspired by Krishna consciousness, something beyond. So that's the whole thing, is they'll take it up. You say, you know, if you go to one of their places and say, hey, we're doing programs in people's houses, just coming by and doing some kirtan and some prasad, you know, like this and that, and, you know, we'd like to, you know, we'll come over and invite some friends, then there's a good chance they'll work it in. Right? But you go to the person who's not following the Vedic culture and they're having some parties and it's a good time, they're not going to invite you over. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the process. That's the problem. That's why it's not recommended. But it still works. So here, the point is that you have desire, engage that desire, but according to the direction of Scripture. Right? And even if you don't, you have to see it connected to Krishna. You have to have some direction of Scripture. Otherwise, it'll just bind you. I would say the one ring aphorism. Yes? So many aphorisms together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
But at the same time, also that Gata doesn't really mention duties of women. And then there is a speculation that what Prabhupada wanted, that we Prabhupada want women to take up religious duties. Or he authorized that they are taking up independent positions in the preaching mission.
They are taking up?
Independent positions in the preaching mission. So there is this...
Are they taking up independent positions? Okay. The whole thing is that you have to be able to discern between these various levels. Because if we're talking about the Paramahamsa Varnashram, which we would call Daiva Varnashram. It means you only use Varnashram how much you need to. So for some person it will be more, some person it will be less. You know what I'm saying? So for the devotee, let's say Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's using more of it. He's a district magistrate, he's, you know, he has a big family, you know, like that, the extended family and the responsibilities and all that. But he's functioning on that platform with that consciousness. He's still chanting, he's writing his books, he's doing all these things. And so he's using more, but we see as time goes, then he starts to use less. Because if we check into it, in between, he was out preaching a lot of the time. You know, in between his work with it, he would be out. And then he'd come back, he'd go out and like this. So these kind of aspects are there. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur then, you know, knowing astrology, he was working as the court astrologer for one of the kings in India, I think the king of Tripura. And so then he was doing that up to the time when then he takes up that full, you know, external manifestation of Krishna consciousness. You know, Prabhupada also, he has his family, these things. As they're is favorable, he's involved in that and Krishna consciousness. As it's not favorable, you see he pulls back. And he gives them the opportunity, they don't take it, then he pulls out. So it's not a matter of rules, no rules, because the problem is we're not, if we're coming from a background where rules are fine, it's easier to understand it. If we're coming from a background where we don't like rules, then as soon as we say Paramahamsa, we say no rules, I do whatever we like. But there's a lot of difference between spontaneous and whimsical. You know what I'm saying? Because whimsical is also another word, is spontaneous and sporadic. That might even be a more. Because whimsical means it's just whenever it happens, this and that. And you know what I'm saying? So the point is, this women being independent and this and that. If they can do that, then that's fine. But that means they have no material needs. And so, therefore, you never fall back on that either. Right? And those who are on that platform, they know they're not the body, but they know what the body is, what it functions, and they know how it fits in society and how it fits in the Vedic society. So even though in the assembly, in Janaka Rishi's assembly, I mean, basically other than Janaka Rishi, she was the most advanced scholar there. Because she was absorbed, she was on the transcendental platform. So I think, I'm not sure if it's not in Sandarbhas or Vedanta Sutra or someplace where then the example of the Ekayana Bhakta, or the person on the Uttama platform, you know, the liberated platform, huh?
Gargi.
Yeah, Gargi. That is Gargi. Right? So she's there in the court. The discussion on is who knows, who has the highest knowledge. So different people have asked different questions and different persons have, you know, shown themselves to be more until it's just Vishwamitra. Right? And we know his position. You know, he's not famous for being a devotee. Right? And so they ask him questions from everywhere, the most obscure scriptures and everything. And he knows the details of all of them. You know, some very obscure ritual and this and that, and how it's performed and the mantras and the little technical thing. He knows it all. And so it comes to the point where no one has any more questions. So then Janaka Rishi, you know, as a final point, then ask, is there anyone else who has something to say? So at that time, then Gargi says, I have a question. Right? So, then she asks about spiritual knowledge. He doesn't know anything. I mean, like, zero. And in fact, because he doesn't even have any knowledge, he doesn't even know the topic exists. So he thinks that she's just making stuff up. So he starts to become angry. So then she immediately then stands up and announces to the crowd that Vishwamitra is the greatest scholar here in this assembly. Here's an Uttam Bhakta who's standing up making that point, with someone who's a yogi and a total materialist. Just because of how the etiquette works. So if we want to use that, then understand the culture. Because an Uttabhakta always presents themselves as a neophyte. Right? So only the neophytes present themselves as Uttabhakta. Right? That's the mode of ignorance. It goes the opposite. Because the point is that why that aspect is because you're dependent upon the Lord. You know, like Prabhupada points out, is that these great Uttamadikars, they have all the mystic siddhis. They're standing there. Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha are standing. They're all waiting to render some service, but they're not interested because they want to see what Krishna's arrangement is. Right? I mean, how many followers would Prabhupada have if, you know, in Delhi, he got on the carpet, flew over to America, you know, and then, you know, started his, you know, doing all these things. Right? You know, it works well. I mean, 2,000 years later, people are still following that yogi. Right? So the point is, yes, but it only gets mass. But individuals, then, rare you'll find of any standard. But Prabhupada's just going when he can go on the boat, as Krishna arranges it. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the whole thing. Even though they have, they don't use them. So that's the position. So one has to be understood is that when you say Paramahamsa, Paramahamsa means they don't have any need of anything. But at the same time, is they know the nature of the body that they're in and what it requires. Right? Does that make sense? And so then they'll deal accordingly. So it has that balance there, but this thing is, oh, I can do whatever I want, you know, unprotected and this and that. Great. But then the point is, but does the body function like that? Because otherwise before, what was that one before? Oh, that's here. I don't remember. The Avanti Brahman. He's saying that, you know, all these different things, you're being dealt with badly by bad people. And you don't care. Right? So that's the position of, you don't need any, you know, you don't need, don't have to worry about shelter. Because you're just dependent on the Lord. The Lord will take care. But when we get this simultaneous, this thing of like this and all these things and equality, that's not a Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa doesn't say that. Paramahamsa looks at where you are, and so then you fit yourself in because you're fitting into with the scene. You're just staying out of the way. You know what I'm saying? It's just like Yayati. Yadu Maharaj. You know, to that Avadhut Brahman. The Avadhut Brahman, you wouldn't know who he is. Because Yadu Maharaj is trained, therefore he could understand this is a highly elevated person. So he goes over to him. Does that make sense? So it's a balance. You have to see that this balance. Because the point is, you know, as Prabhupada said in Vrindavan, don't be more of a Paramahamsa than he is. Right? So that's the whole point, is what he's given, you follow that. Right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was mentioning when he was saying about, you know, all the different things that he wanted to do, and one of them was to create an ashram for women who are recluses. You know, so they had a place, they can just sit down, they can do their sadhana, do their puja, and all this kind of thing. So it's just a natural thing that you do that.
They did that. Dhiraj Maharaj did that.
In Vrindavan he made, yeah. So like that.
Like you said, Prabhupada did not formally institute like Kshatriya's Vajrasutra, what they should be doing. But can you also say he didn't formally institute what the women should be doing? He just, like he gave the Brahmanas and he gave the four ashrams.
It means it depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about in devotional service, you're applying yourself as the devotee. So whenever it says, you know, give up the association of women, that means for women, give up the association of men. The point is that you're seeing Krishna's energy as something that you'll get benefit from, you know, in the way of fruit of results. So it's the same principle. So then that's given there. And then the duties on how then they follow the husband. Does that make sense? But the point is then that means the woman's smart enough to, you know, because if they say they're equal, that means you're smart, then you choose a husband that is going somewhere. Because you can't follow somewhere who's you know, got roots in a couch. Right? Like that. It's just, you know, and generally speaking, couches never have wheels on them, right? No, they don't have wheels. Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that you use your intelligence four times as much. Clever means use it to advantage, not to disadvantage. Right? And so then it's there. Because in other words, where you want to go, it's just like, if you want to go to Calcutta, which bus do you pick? You know, the one over in the corner where two of the wheels aren't on it and the windows are broken and it's kind of leaning to one side and it's like half burnt. Right? Or the one that's, you know, running and all that, and there's a guy out there banging on the door and saying, Calcutta. Right? You know. Yeah. So that's the thing, is that where you want to go, choose someone who's going there. It makes it so much easier. Does that make sense? Like that. You know, it's like the guy drives, you know, because he's the guy, and you can chant your japa, you know, read, take a nap, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know. So it's better. So going to 50-50, it's an actual reduction in facility. You know what I'm saying? Why would you want to go from 90-10 to 50-50? You know what I'm saying? It's just, it doesn't make sense. No? Can you imagine that? 250 dhotis? Wow. All white, yeah. Different borders. Thinner ones, little bit lettuce ones, some plain ones, little bit whiter ones, and one of those big, really big Ganga Jamuna ones. You know, one or two Shantipur ones. I saw once a dhoti, the Shantipur dhoti borders. You know the Shantipur? The ones that have borders and then it has many and then it starts going out a bit. And so they're about, you know, they'll be like, you know, quite wide. But I saw one where the stripes, when it got up to the final thing, instead of stopping, it went up the whole dhoti. I only saw one like that, though. Of course, it was in silk, but I think the border lines were tussar. You know, so it was far out.
Different colors.
Huh?
All colors in one line.
Yeah. Ooh, okay, see? Yeah, so like that, you know. 250 white dhotis with different little borders. But the only problem is those dhotis, they're not cheap. They're not as expensive as sari, but they're still not cheap. So that means then you might reduce down on the 250 saris. So then end up as 100 dhotis and 100 saris. So that's 50-50. Any takers?
No.
No. Okay. Yeah. So it's just a matter of knowing the nature, knowing what you're dealing with. Like that. Huh. Okay. So if one can function, but the point is there's no question of the living entity, which is feminine, of being without shelter. So if you've taken full 100% shelter of Krishna on a platform like Atmani Vedanam, then, okay, if one wanders around like Gargi, it'll work. But the point is it mentions, for men, it mentions they can do these kind of activities at a lower stage. Like neophyte's not recommended, madhyama, it's okay. And uttama, definitely. But with women, it only recommends it at uttama platform. It's not a sadhana. It means in sadhana bhakti, then you generally follow within varnashram. That's what's been given. So the point is, since the duties are there, when 11th canto it's talking about the mentality. The form of it's already been explained in the other nine cantos, so you don't need. You know, Narad Muni, who is a Paramahamsa, has already explained it. So then you don't need to explain it again. So they can't say it's not explained here, because it also doesn't say specifically, you know, if the guy takes out the garbage or not. You know, so then if we're all Paramahamsas, who takes out the garbage?
The more
Paramahamsa. Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
I'll make the announcement about Friday.
Yes, yes. Okay, that's Maha Abhishek, right? Because it's at 8. The Abhishek's at 8.
Oh, yeah. Hare Krishna. So there will be no class on Friday. It's the first of March, Maha Abhishek. Okay, next week, as usual.